Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda, and I have my co-host Margaret Sheldon on the line. And before we get started with today's topic, we have to have Margaret fill us in on what you did last weekend.
Let's see. This is where I pray, you know, my children don't listen to our show. It was a busy week.
You had a wedding. Your daughter got married.
We had a huge wedding. We had a big rehearsal dinner. We had, you know, as to be expected, a couple of unexpected snafus that we managed to jump over. And, you know, it was just
Are you
going to
share those two snafus or no?
Well, there's two, Leslie, just two?
I
could go on for hours. Well, one was the bride getting, we're not sure if she was had food poisoning or a severe virus, but the night before the wedding, I was awakened at 3 a.m., and we spent the rest of the evening and early morning hours getting an IV in her arm. And anyway, you know, everyone is very kind to you at an emergency room when they hear that the patient is the bride to be. So they were just, you know, there was a young doctor. He was adorable. Everybody, they were just pumped. I should give a little background. Claire had played 10 rounds of competitive golf in 7 days in 95 degree heat.
That is
so
unbelievable.
Surprised. And she lost the state am by the skin of her teeth, which was fine. It's really fine. We were all ready to get off the golf course. But it was hot, and, you know, a lot of things can go wrong. So I have to say, I think for the most part, everything went right. And by the time the doctors were done with her, she went to sleep for a few hours, and she was radiant. So there's something to be said for all you mothers and fathers of brides. You know, if you can get a few extra liters of fluid into the bride, she absolutely glows.
That's amazing.
Everyone was like,
and then the weather.
It was beautiful.
We'll mention that.
Oh, the weather was tricky. It was in the high 80s with unbelievable humidity. We had a downpour. We had to make a call. But, you know, we got the best of, I think, all worlds. We had to put the wedding itself, the ceremony, inside, but it was just the most beautiful room. And it's our club, which is a very old golf club, one of the oldest ones actually. So it doesn't have sort of the great big ballrooms, but it's got, imagine what you would have had sort of, you know, early American history, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
A big, beautiful room with fireplaces, and it was just gorgeous. Her golf course was her backdrop, and we were all delighted, and we were able to do cocktails outside on the lawn, and everyone was just loving that. So, you know, it didn't even make lemonade from lemons. It's just sort of, don't stress about everything and go with the flow. And we all had a wonderful time, which isn't to say that we're not exhausted. My daughter is now on her honeymoon, and when she gets back, she'll be here for 3 days before she moves to Australia for a couple of years.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I alternate between saying my house looks like Geppetto's workshop on the one hand because of all the wedding projects. It looks like Logan Airport on the other because of all the luggage that's staged up. You know, I give up. I just keep saying, I wonder when I'm going to get into my studio, because I'm pretty sure the door is blocked by somebody's
box.
But you know what? We had a great time. I feel like the rest of the summer is mine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great things happening. So, yeah, it's, you know, if you don't enjoy the chaos that can sometimes come with the really good times in life, I mean, then you miss it all. So we were all pretty chill about it and I think everybody had a great time. So now it's your turn. You're batter up.
Yeah, well, exactly. So we I want to apologize that we didn't have the show last week, and the reason for that is because Margaret was 2 days out from the wedding, and
yes.
I was in Waco, Texas, looking to buy a fixer-upper, and I'm hoping I have an update on that project maybe this weekend.
Good.
We're not moving. As you know, I've been doing this, my 100-year-old home, Instagram and project, and it's been the most incredible thing. It involves having to do a lot of decorating things, and I just can't decorate my existing house anymore from the standpoint of changing things. It looks great. It's a waste. It feels very wasteful to me to do that. So
yeah.
I told my husband I need another project and can't do it here in Southern California. Fixer-upper is $1 million. That's not happening. So
right.
I thought, why not do it in a place where it's like my Disneyland? And we're going to buy a place. For a nanosecond, we were thinking about buying a lot and building a farmhouse that looks like an old farmhouse, but I think we're going to go with an older 100-year-old home. And it's what we're going to do, I am going to remodel it. And some of the houses we looked at, you guys, were hoarder houses beyond belief, like you never could even imagine. And it's amazing how you can still see the potential when it's that bad. But we're going to fix it up, furnish it, and Airbnb it.
That'll
so,
be so
we're not moving
fun.
There. Yeah, I'm really excited. And then Saturday night, we're hosting an engagement party for my son and his fiance, which I discovered late last night is not 63 people, it's 69 people. Apparently, when you do like a paperless post invitation, I have a huge piece of advice for you. Double check that when people RSVP yes, and it's a couple coming, that they actually put the correct number of people in. Because I was filling out chalkboard place cards last night, and I ran out of them, and I was like, how could that be? And I suddenly realized my brother and his wife are coming, and they put one. My parents are coming, and they put one. And there were a lot of those. So I realized we have more people than I thought we did. So it's crazy, though. I'm completely going over the top. Over the top.
But
so.
You don't have to worry about weather.
No, we don't.
So I'm envious. That's right. You don't need a B plan, just an A plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the
so
thing
today,
is, everyone comes ready for fun.
Oh, yeah. And we have pretty fun parties, I have to say. We are building an outdoor dining area today. I have 8 old vintage porch posts and a lot of ways. It's going to be really amazing with a billion lights, and I'm really excited. And I'm doing all these crazy things. Like I'm making stenciled pillow covers that are all about the bride and the groom, and just all these little touches that I think they'll be super excited about. But if you want to follow along,
so nice.
You can go to my
yeah.
Instagram. Yesterday I was at the Los Angeles Fabric Mart, and I walked in about 20 different fabric stores because I had in mind, the theme is California Hamptons, which is kind of a joke, but 2 years ago we all went to the Hamptons and we still talk about it and we all want to move there and there's no way that'll happen. But so we decided to do that theme. And I wanted like a blue and white ticking tablecloth. And at the last place where I was about to have a breakdown because it was 100 degrees, I found it for next to nothing. So
that is
26
fantastic.
Yards later. Yeah.
That is great, though.
So
good for you.
Meanwhile, we are doing the 30 and 30 in September. I'm going to be sending out the email blast after the party on Saturday. It's happening. I am painting. I am finally going to paint my farmhouse collection that I was going to do a year and a half ago. Took me a little while to get there. And I wanted to have 5,000 followers before I introduced it, and I waited a little long, and I have quite a few more than that, so it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, I'll so say.
I have no complaints.
That is great.
So today, we have a topic. I know, it's kind of took a while to get there, 9 minutes, so sorry. It's called Selling Your Art to Interior Designers and Architects. and how to kind of market to a new audience. So it's kind of, it's really a cool thing because, funny enough, I'm still working with one interior designer and I have a big project I'm doing for her. But when the galleries perhaps aren't selling or you feel like, you know, doing another open house isn't going to make it happen, it's time to explore new venues for sales. And so today we want to talk to you about selling to the trade. And here is the reason why. When you can develop a relationship with someone like an architect or an interior designer, they are a multi-purchase repeat customer. And it's because people are coming to them for art. So why wouldn't you go after someone like that? And I've kind of been on the – I've been working with a lot of interior designers, and it's kind of remarkable to me how easy it was to open that door. So the first thing I'm going to mention, and by the way, we have to give Margaret the credit for putting this show together because yours truly has been too busy. It helps. It's really important that you have a body of work to show your prospective clients. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how I kind of did that, but designers want to be able to rely on you, the artist, to provide a reliable body of work. And here's the thing. They are in a position where they're providing options of art for their client, who's a homeowner. They need to be able to show the homeowner the kind of art that you do, and they need to be able to give them some direction. Now, I ended up doing something because when I first started working with interior designers, especially with abstracts, terrified because I was so worried that I was going to come back with this huge, massive painting that was done, and the interior designer or even the client, which is the most important person, were going to say, oh, it's not really what we had in mind. So what I kind of put together a system that I have to say has worked really well, and that is I would meet with the interior designer or talk to them over the phone. They send me samples of fabrics. They email them to me. They send them to me in the mail. And then I would actually put together little tiny abstract paintings that were just very basic, just kind of with the color palette. And this is for abstract, so it's a lot easier to do. It's not like you're painting an oil painting. But I would do maybe 5-8 different compositions, different styles, just to kind of give them an idea of what I was thinking. And what was so great about that is that she would show them or he would show them to the client. The client would say, oh, I want this one. And then when I went to paint the painting, it was like 10,000 times less stress and easier than if I was freaked out and worried the whole time that maybe the client wouldn't like what I was doing. And it was an amazing system. Now, you can do that with your existing portfolio, too. And I've done this many, many times where they would go online to my website and she'd come back and say the client likes this one, and this one that you painted. And I'd be like, okay, how about if I do something like this, and then maybe I would do one and say this is kind of what I was thinking, or maybe even not. I just go for it. But at least you're taking the whole world out there and narrowing it down for your client. Now, if you're doing oil paintings or watercolors, you don't have to go through that step because it's very easy for them to see your style. And once you have the subject matter, there aren't any surprises. I'll tell you one thing about working with interior designers. There's that whole thing about, does the color match the couch? And there's a lot of artists that are insulted that they would even have to think about that. And I'm telling you, if you are, then just don't listen to this show anymore. Because there are a lot of people who have a color scheme in a room. And when it comes to art, they would really like that to kind of go with the room. And if you have a problem with that, if you think it's selling out, if you think it doesn't work, then you know what? Don't approach interior designers. Because that's just the way they work. I have no problem with it. I don't feel like it's selling out.
That's true.
I just feel like I'm getting to create a fabulous painting with some parameters. I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm not going to stick a red, white, and blue painting in my living room. I think it would look terrible. So I think it's okay for someone to say, hey, here's my color palette. Keep that into consideration. Does that make sense?
You know, yeah, it does. And I think it also makes sense if you have a catalog of work, in other words, let's walk into my studio for a moment. You really can divide your work into different subject matter or genres, or you can take the work and you can look at it in terms of the palette, certainly. You know, a lot of sort of blue and white ocean scenes, I mean, whatever. But that's another thing that works. I mean, you don't necessarily have to paint a fresh painting for them. Chances are, if you have, and it really does need to be well organized and cataloged, ideally photographed so that they can make a preliminary choice looking online. But if you have existing work, it might be perfect. You know, we'll talk more about this as the show goes on, but I was certainly in the position many a time where a project that we would be working on would finish as an architect, and there would be 5 conference rooms that needed art. And let me tell you, I didn't have time for anybody to paint fresh paintings for them. I went and visited artists whose work I thought was a good fit, and I would be there looking to buy 3 or 4, you know, because of, and you don't have to match to anything. I think, you know, it's good to think of the work you've already got as being part of what you have to offer.
100%. I should have mentioned that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So now, I mean, those are 2 different things, right? One is that you're supplying the art, and the other is that you could have an architect or a designer come to you and say, we really like what you do. Can you do something for this space? I mean, either way, it's a win-win because it's you and your work. So now let's talk about how you find all the designers and architects that you think you might want to work with. Certainly you can make a list, and you can just sort of sit down and either going through everything from the Sunday magazine section. There's usually a design section in most, at least urban papers. You can do that. You can go through the magazines, you know, whether it's Architectural Digest, it kind of breaks down. You can have more of the, you know, we have Boston Magazine always does some home features. You can see who the designers are that are working in your area and who you'd love to be able to work with. But don't stop there, because there are so many interior designers or architects whose work you've never heard about, and they still have a need to fill. So you need to actually browse a bit. And you can look at organizations like the AIA, which is American Institute of Architects, or ASID, American Society of Interior Design. They all have websites, and they all have listings of members. And, of course, they're listed because these folks want prospective clients to find them. It kind of works in your favor, too. Vice versa, you know, you're not hiring the architect, but you may know that they work on the sorts of projects that you think your work would be appropriate for. They're there. You can search by geography. Give me the names of architects in the greater Boston area. Boom. I mean, it comes up either by city or by zip code, and it's sort of like a free database. You're actually going to be able to get somewhere with that information if you're willing to do sort of a well-organized mailer. And, you know, get to the point. Start off with a graphic. Send out an email that shows your work, a link to your website, and just kind of introduce yourself as being someone who you think your work fits in with their style of design. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can really find, I can only tell you, you're filling a need, because there were many times we would sort of scratch our heads and say, here we go again. We need to fill the building with art. What a happy
problem. Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. And what you really need to do is get your art in front of these designers and architects. And sometimes an email is great, but sometimes you need to do a little bit more than that. So you might want to think about, and I can't believe I'm saying this, old school, sending a postcard.
It is.
Email. Because you're going to stand out and be different.
Leslie, don't you keep postcards that you love the images of? I do.
I
used to put them on my refrigerator, but I don't have a magnetic refrigerator.
I know. I tape everything on my refrigerator now.
Yeah, I pin it up. But it's true, and I can tell you, every firm I've ever worked in, if you see a pretty image, it's like stuck on your board, right, with your drawings, because you want to remember it.
So true.
No, and so you really want to be able to, you know, have a just a way that you can be different. And maybe you host a come see my art event. Or maybe on the postcard you offer on the postcard, it's just for interior designers and architects, you offer to bring, to come, you know, come in the morning, bring treats for everyone in the office and show some, you know, 5 or 10 paintings. I mean, there's a way to be different, and there, it's really important that you get your work in front of them. And the fresher that impression is, the more likely that they're going to call it and consider you for upcoming projects of interior art. I know one of the things one interior designer said to me is, because I have, there was like a thing on Shutterfly where you could get like unlimited prints. So I had prints made up of all of my paintings. And she said, oh, I wish I could have this set and I could have a ring on it and I could just show it to my clients. So guess what I got her? I'm not going to do that for all of them, but, you know, if there's maybe you could create a page on your website just for interior designers. And you don't, if you want, you don't have to list it in the menu on the top of your website, but it could be, you know, whatever it, you know, margaretsheldon.com/interior designers. And you could send all of them the link. And it's just a really easy way for them to shop your art and for them to use this page with their clients. Who knows? You just want to make, you want to make it really easy for them to show and buy your art.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love the idea that they could have a page to go to. That is a great idea. Because chances are they might check back from time to time just to see if there's anything new.
Exactly.
So I've already talked about getting into sort of the regional design magazines and certainly the local paper. Sort of be aware of what's being built, you know, notice what's going on. And if you are really into this, start to get to get a little familiarized with, you know, which designers are busy, what kind of projects are they doing. I can raise my hand right now and tell you every time there's an assisted living facility built, there's a requirement for 100 pieces of art. So,
it's,
you know,
so
never
funny
underestimate.
That.
Yeah.
Because every time I visit my parents, I look at the art and think, oh, darn.
Yeah.
Should have done that.
See? It's a great. And there are public spaces in those. There are restaurant spaces. There are more intimate spaces. There's hallways. It's amazing how many offices need art. So, you know, a lot of times the designers and architects are really busy and they know that that piece is coming. But I think consider offering a service. You know, maybe you will help, you can help place the pieces, what's appropriate, make suggestions, you know, sort of offer yourself as more than just the provider of the oil on canvas, but sort of, you know, package it up that you can do a free consultation and you'll, you know, go meet with the client, or nobody likes to be cut out. You'll meet with the architects and designers and make sure that you understand what their vision is for the space. And then you can make some suggestions, you know, that alone can sometimes be enough to really solidify your position on the team, because that's what it becomes. There are big organizations that do art consultation, but there's also a big price tag that comes with that. And there's a flavor. They tend to sort of have a similar look maybe from one job to the next. I think going in there as an individual, offering a more customized kind of experience is well worth your time. And this can really pay off.
Yeah. No, I think that's really smart. Really, really smart. And part of it is just getting in the know, if you know what I mean. Okay, another place that is really, really great where you can show your art is a furniture store. Okay.
Right.
Now, this is kind of bypassing the interior designer architect, and this is going straight to the end consumer. What you have to realize when you sell your art, there's a lot of levels of people that can buy your art. You can do the, I call them wholesalers, but people like architects and interior designers who are typically looking for art on behalf of their client, then you can find those clients. And if you have a local furniture store, oh my gosh, you need to go in there. Just because it's a great place when people are looking for furniture, they're likely interested in art, wanting to buy art, or may not even know they need art, but when they see it, they realize they do. And it's, in many cases, it's free wall space, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And you can be doing a huge favor to the furniture store. So keep that in mind and don't be shy. Go in today, tomorrow, this weekend.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend who got her art in the local furniture store, and I was like, oh, what an idiot I am. What was I thinking? But you can go in there. You can go in there with your iPad and show them your art online. Let them pick which ones they want you to bring in. I mean, there's so many opportunities. So many opportunities. So.
How many times have you gone through one of those great furniture stores and you look around and you think, I just want this whole room? Well, people really do that. They really do want the room, and they say, I want that rug and I want that art. So why not have it be yours? Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
All right.
I mean, think about that. How wonderful is that?
I love it. I love it. Now, I'm going back to Leslie. You were the first person I ever saw do this. It's, you know, I think everyone should go ahead and get that app that allows you to photograph a room and then show, you know, you can interpose a photograph of your piece of artwork hanging on the wall. It's brilliant. If you have a photograph of a wall in a room or a house that's been designed by the architect or interior designer that you're approaching, you have a home run. Seeing is believing. You can show them the very wall that maybe was photographed for a magazine. You can show them what that piece of art will look like there or somewhere else. And, you know, I keep saying seeing is believing. But the other thing you have to know is that if it's a good fit, and you'll know if your art is appropriate for a particular space, if it's a good fit and someone can actually take one look and confirm that, you know, that really would look great above that mantle or in the dining room, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is like the best setup for success. And the fact that they could then do that for their clients. If you're an interior designer, you've been brought in to totally redo a law office, which is a very common kind of job, to be able to show the principals quickly the vision you have for their new conference rooms with some artwork. And you know what? You can flip through and give them choices. It's, I can't even tell you what a deal closer that is.
Yeah.
Perfect. So everybody should go and experiment with that app.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so you can take it a step further. So let's say there's an interior designer who, let me mention one thing. Before you approach anybody in a personalized way, in any way, make sure you do your research. Make sure you know what kind of art they buy for their clients. If you go on their website, if they don't have a website, don't waste your time. But go on their website and see what kind of rooms they're showing as in their portfolio. If every single one of them is very traditional with oil paintings, then don't approach them with abstract art. And the flip side, if they only do more modern, large, big abstracts, don't approach them with small oil paintings because it's probably not going to work. So do that research first. Very, very, very important. But then to make yourself look different from the last artist they heard about, maybe you can help with framing decisions or marketing the project a bit. I mean, there's ways that you can be different than every other artist. And framing is a huge concern to the designers. I hate the framing part of art. It takes so much time and I just don't like it. I put my, this big interior designer in Orange County that I work with directly in touch with Randy Higby, and just said, here, this is the best guy to go to. He's really well priced. He can do everything. And she was thrilled. She's like, how did I not know about this guy? And
oh,
I took
great.
Myself out of the loop, which was hugely important.
Right.
Really important. So you can be, you know, be the resource, be the person that they go to when they have those kinds of questions. And you'll just set yourself aside from everybody else. So
it's true. It's true. Now, Leslie, I just got a message. Deborah Hughes wants to know, what is the name of the app where you can shoot
a picture of art? I don't use an app.
I use
Photoshop.
Photoshop? Okay.
Yeah, I use Photoshop.
There you go, Deborah.
So,
Photoshop away.
Hopefully that will help.
I love this live interaction.
I know. That's awesome. Absolutely.
All right. Great. Now, in terms of reaching out, I think it's important to position yourself a little bit as an expert, and we know you're an expert in creating your art, but sometimes, you know, getting more awareness about who you are and establishing a little bit of sort of a public profile is a good thing. So if you're comfortable with the topic, you know, you can give a talk at a local community center or a continuing education center or a local art association, whatever. You can talk about art in public spaces. What do I mean by that? Think about the lobby of every building you've ever gone into. You can even talk about how to frame a painting, and I don't mean with a hammer. I mean that there are some paintings that don't get framed at all. Do you know where the edges are painted out? It's a gallery wrapped frame. You know, you can sort of explain the differences, the way that maybe a consumer who buys a painting, the options they have, different resources they can go to frame mm-hmm. them. And how many times have we all been asked, how do you hang a painting? What kind of hardware do you use? And I'll tell you that in public spaces, there is a different hardware that we use, certainly in hotels and things. And it's one that sort of allows the painting, it's more difficult for the painting to be stolen, quite frankly. It kind of locks it down. There are some that actually do lock. But, you know, if you sort of get familiar with the lingo, it's a great way to kind of share your knowledge and make it maybe a little clear to the industry, the design industry, that you're offering sort of a value that mm-hmm. they could use, you know, that you are fluent in this language and you're not, there's nothing wrong with just being an artist. But I think if you really want to get out there and work with the higher profile people, it's a good thing to do just to be able to say, this is what I speak about. This is what I know. So add a little bit of education to your whole process. And I really believe it pays off in the end.
Yeah, I agree. No, I totally agree. And I think it's super important. Okay. Now you have to realize when you are working with an interior designer or an architect, they are entrusting you to come through and be professional because they are entrusting you with their biggest clients. So this is not the time. This is not the time to not be professional. And so you need to have bona fide invoices, letterhead, plenty of business cards, be able to work within a design palette or genre. Be willing to say no when you can't deliver, whether that means the project's you're just not comfortable with it. There's too many parameters. It's the timeline isn't going to work. You have to be able to walk away. Mm. And they're probably going to want you more if you do that for next time. But you're going to have to say, I can't work with a 2-week turnaround. I'm just too busy. I'd be happy to do something when I can have 4 weeks. You know, oh, I'm so sad. I can't do this. I would if I could, but I just don't. I've got other clients that are ahead of you, and I'm sure you understand how important it is that I have already committed to them. It's all about being a professional and being realistic and not being afraid to say no. I mean, I did one for an interior designer that was just massive, and it was so cool, and I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could paint an 8x10-foot painting. But I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
and you did it professionally.
Yes.
That's right. So, and then you had to learn all about shipping. I remember that.
No, it was going overseas, and I had to take it off the stretcher bars,
rolled
and it got rolled. It got rolled on a tube, and then I had to find a container to put it in to ship it over to England, but we made it happen. How cool is that?
Oh, I love it. That's really cool. But again,
see,
it just sort of reinforces that professional behavior, which I can guarantee you is required. I mean, if you're just doing it as an artist, a certain amount of flakiness will be tolerated, even enjoyed. But when it comes to those things like deadlines and billing, forget it. You've got to have your act together.
Yeah.
I would have run in the other direction if I thought somebody might let me down. Because, you know, you just don't have time to deal with that. What you want is sort of a vendor, if you will, who's going to make your life easier, not harder.
Mm-hmm. So. No, I totally agree.
Okay.
It's really important.
So this is going to reiterate what we just said, but again, be realistic, prepared to meet deadlines. And, you know, Leslie, you made the best point of all. If you're not going to be able to do it, say no, and say no graciously, and it will only benefit you in the end. No good comes of, you know, a poorly done job. So it's kind of takes courage to say no, but you have to do it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Okay. I kind of alluded to this earlier as well, but what you want to do is you want to get your art in front of every single person that is talking about art to their clients. So if you can figure out a way to be able to do it like a presentation in the design office to all of the designers that work there, that is a home run. Now, I'm not saying you have to bring lunch in. If you do it in the morning, big thing of donuts or croissants or something is great because we know how helpful food is. But you're going to get the attention of the exact people who will be looking for residential projects, commercial projects, institutional projects, and you want to be foremost on their mind. Now, when you do that, be smart. Take business cards. If you have a flyer, take a flyer. But most importantly, take a wide variety of art. Because these interior designers or architects have a lot of different types of clients. And so you want to be able to be one who can offer a solution for all of those. If everything looks very similar, you're going to be limiting your portfolio. So this is the time to bring not only what you think are your best paintings, but also a wide variety of them. Really, really important.
It's really true. You know, just a word on that. Every other sort of service or goods provider, whether it's the people who specialize in lighting or the ones who are manufacturing, you know, the really beautiful carpets, the tile manufacturers, the hand-painted tiles, this is the way it operates. It's always when can I bring lunch in or coffee, but more often than not it was lunch. It can be really simple. It can be pizzas, quite frankly. But sort of everybody's got to eat. So it sits everyone down. You've got their attention for 20 minutes. And they may not contact you for a year. But if they've taken away a little piece of collateral, you know, a postcard that has images of your work on it, they will remember you. And it's one of those things that goes into the brain banks. I can't tell you how many times we'd say, who was it that brought in that? Oh, yeah. And then you'd, you know, reach two projects out, you'd reach back and find them. So if you're good on your feet and you like talking to people, it's a great way to get their attention. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing to do is keep in touch. You know, just because your work doesn't fit today doesn't mean it won't. And keep in touch. Don't badger people with phone calls. But, you know, email has made all of our lives easier. Send a quick note with not a big file, please, but a small image of, like, your latest work. Or if you've had a piece installed, send them that so they can see it sort of in situ. Everybody likes to see what it looks like. And I think if you think about keeping in touch as maybe something like just quarterly reach out, I think it will pay dividends.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so we have been talking about original art all the time, but there are needs out there for G. Clay prints, other prints, maybe printed paintings on canvas. It's all comes down to a budget issue. If there is a, for example, a senior assisted living facility that wants prints from you, and they want them, and they need one in every room and every hallway, and they need 400 prints, that's a really great thing. Number one, you don't have to paint 400 paintings. And number two, you just place the order and it's done. So you can make way more money on that versus doing original art. So do not forget to address that option, because there are a lot of people that can't afford original art, and it's a huge marketplace.
Yep.
And it, especially for institutional and commercial applications. And so, you know, they may want one huge, big, fabulous painting in the lobby, but they may need them for the bathroom and the hallways and everywhere else. So make sure that you can offer excellent, affordable alternatives. You know, patient exam rooms, common spaces. I mean, there's so many things that they need, and it's really important to be able to kind of offer a solution for everybody's needs. You know, you can, you know, mention the fact, and if you can, you know, do a write-up with the list of palettes, subject matter, sizes, and materials for the architects and designers to keep in their files. You can do a price sheet, but I would be a little, maybe a price range
Don't
makes
do that.
More sense.
Yeah.
But if you're going to offer giclées or prints, be prepared to give them a price estimate. Don't go in there not having done your research. It's really important. So find a printer, knowing that you can fully well search, you know, find the best printer out there when the order comes in. But have an idea of what it's going to cost and make sure you're making good money on it. So do a little homework. Yeah, because they'll say, oh, great, so your original painting is $1,800. How much would a giclée be, or how much would a printed on canvas be, or how much would a, you know, framed print be? And you have to be able to talk in general prices, and don't just pull them out of wherever.
Right. So. Right. And that's where, I hate to say it, I hate to throw sort of my own people under the bus, but for instance, my husband will come home and he'll say, I need to find 36 pieces of art to go in this, you know, whatever. He works at a big university, and he'll say, you know, he'll be driven by not the color, not the material, not the subject matter, but the size. Like, you will not believe how important it is for you to have good bookkeeping and knowing the size every piece you have is, and the sizes that you could print it to if you were to go this sort of giclée route. And it takes a little bit of homework to do this. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'll need to research that and get back to you. But boy, the quicker you can have that information at the tip of your fingers, the sooner you're going to start making some serious sales, because
you
have what they need. They just don't know where to find it.
That's right.
That's the truth.
Yeah, and you just want to make it really easy for them. The last thing they want to have to do is feel like this is going to be
a pain. That's right. I mean, seriously, for a big architectural firm to be able to say, oh, look, we're going to need all this art. Why don't you give Leslie a call? She was great last time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the conversation goes. And, you know, it right in front of them, put it right in front of them, and you will make those sales over and over again. And like you, I do not think people should apologize providing art for, you know, institutional spaces or in multiples or any of that. The fact is, it's, you know, original artwork. And if it's not that, I can tell you they're going to put up the same black and white Ansel Adams photograph in every single office of an executive in the facility. Because when they don't know where to go, they default to, like, the sure, safe, unobjectionable thing. And
absolutely. No, you're totally right.
No.
You're totally right. So it's really about filling a need.
No offense to Ansel Adams.
Yeah, no, completely. Of course, he's amazing.
But Yeah.
It's all about filling a need and making the project run smoother for the interior designer, architect, or whoever you're working with. Be prepared to feel more like an associate than an outside vendor. You want them to have the trust that they can say, here is the project, make it work. Because if you've got a really good relationship with the design team, then they're going to be comfortable relying on you for a long time on a lot of projects. Individual designers are often looking for someone who can interact with clients too. And if they feel that you would be a good fit for that, then it's a home run. It really is. So.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we're all going to be in the money next year. Woo. Mm-hmm. Everybody finds new art, new paints, new easels all around.
It's yeah. Are you going to do the 30 and 30, Margaret? I'm putting you on the line.
Well, I hate to say this. I'm going to do my best, but I am getting a new knee the first week in September.
Then start painting now. Just saying.
Yeah. I know.
You probably hate me right now.
Well, no, I don't. Not at all. And in fact, I scheduled the knee so I can do the show on Thursday and I go in on Friday. So
amazing.
I intend to be in good shape, but I've got a lot going on between now and then, all art related, because weddings are all about others. So I think John and I feel like the rest of this summer is going to be a little more focused on ourselves and what it is that we want to do. So I'm very excited, and yes, I will paint ahead because I have found that I produce more work even if I don't meet the 30 and 30 goal.
Uh-huh.
I still produce more work than I ever would have without it. So I highly encourage anybody out there who really wants to build up a good body of work. I mean, that's what we were talking about today. Have enough that you can show variety. This is your opportunity. Go for it. Do the small ones if that's what you're able to.
Yeah.
And then later, you can always blow them up. But have fun with it. Yeah, I can't wait. September. Back to school, new notebooks, 30 and 30.
We have no one going back to school, but we'll get new notebooks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excited.
This is good. Good. Well, you'll be going to Waco. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
geez. All right, my dear. Thank you. Great show.
Have a wonderful party, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.